We exchange garlands, and it's all over. Very inexpensive marriage.
Those of you who come from India know that marriages are quite expensive sometimes. I have friends who have sponsored marriages for their daughters, and they've cost $50,000, $60,000 just for a 2 or 3 day marriage. That's a normal thing. I know someone, he's not a friend, of course, I wish he was a friend. He had a marriage for his daughter, it cost $10 million. And I'd like to meet him. That's Mr. Mittal, you know. Anyway, the steel magnate. So marriages in India tend to be very, very expensive. So this particular marriage we're going to talk about, we're actually going to talk about two marriages today. The marriage of Shankarchuda and Tulsi, who's a demon. Not really a demon, but just someone who acted like a demon. And the marriage of Krishna, or Lord Vishnu and Tulsi. So the marriage of Shankarchuda and Tulsi was a Gandharvika marriage. All right, let's tell the story. Very interesting. So the story starts, once upon a time, as all stories start, Narada Muni asked Lord Narayan, how did Tulsi become your wife? Because we know that when we offer anything to Lord Narayan or to Krishna or any of the expansions of Krishna, we have to have a Tulsi leaf there. And so Tulsi is always associated with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so Narada Muni asked, where was she born? Who is she? You know, why is she a tree? And so this story is from the Padma Purana, one of the ancient literatures. Purana means very old, something that happened in the past. So Lord Narayan begins to tell the story. He says, once upon a time, there was a devotee named Dharmadvaja, and his wife was named Madhavi. And they gave birth to an expansion of Lakshmi who happened to be named Tulsi. But she was pregnant for 100 years before she gave birth. That's a celestial years. That's not your ordinary 9 month or even 100 year pregnancy. That's like millions of years. Can you imagine? Poor lady. So she was pregnant for 100 years, and eventually she gave birth to Tulsi, and Tulsi was very beautiful. She had a lotus flower imprinted on her foot. Her eyes were like lotus petals. Her lips were like bimba. For those of you who don't know what that means very nice and red, and beautiful lips. And she didn't have a mobile phone. So please turn it off. So her palms were reddish. Navel deep, three folds in her stomach. She had a halo and a white complexion, just like a champaka flower. So Tulsi wanted to marry Lord Narayan. And I'll explain why in a few minutes. So she went to Bhadrik Ashram to perform austerities to get Krishna as her husband. And she performed austerities for 100,000 years. For the first 20,000 years, all she ate were fruits and water. 30,000 more years, she ate just dried leaves from the trees. It's like we have the dried leaves that are falling from the trees right now. That's all she ate. For 40,000 years, all she did was breathe. For 10,000 years, nothing. And she stood on one leg. And finally, Lord Brahma appeared. And Brahma asked her what he wanted. She explained that in the past, I was a gopi, and I was actually cursed by Srimati Radharani to come down to this earth planet because I became a little bit too intimate with Krishna. So actually, I want to marry Narayan. And Krishna said I would marry Narayan. But Lord Brahma said, I have a better idea. I want you to marry this personality named Shankarchuda. Now, Shankarchuda is actually Sudam, one of the cowboys in Vrindavan, and he became attracted to Tulsi Devi in Vrindavan, in the original Goloka Vrindavan, and therefore he came down, but not only because he was attracted, but he was cursed by Radharani to come down. I'll tell that story in a second. So both of these personalities are what's called Jati Smarana. That means they can remember who they were in their last appearance, which is in the spiritual world. So they actually remember that they were in the spiritual world and they came down to do certain activities to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Lord Brahma said, he'll marry you first. Later on, you will marry Narayan. And you'll marry Narayan, and you'll be cursed to become a tree, and you will also curse Narayan. So actually, Lord Brahma predicted what was going to happen. Tulsi said, I just want one thing. I want to lose my fear of Srimati Radharani. And Lord Brahma said, okay, I'll give you this 16-syllable Radha mantra to chant, and that way you will not be afraid of her. So Tulsi worshipped Radharani for 12 years. And after these 12 years, Kamadeva affected her. This is part of a pastime. We shouldn't misunderstand and think that these great devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, these eternally liberated associates of the Lord, are affected by lust, like you and I are affected by lust. This is sort of Yogamaya, it's called, not Mahamaya. Yogamaya means the internal potency of the Lord. Mahamaya means the external potency. So Kamadeva is Cupid. And Cupid has his arrows of form, taste, smell, and touch. And when he fires them at you, you'd become bewildered. Therefore, he's called Madan. That means the person who bewilders. And, of course, Krishna is called Madan Mohan. That means the person who attracts Cupid. And Radharani is called Madan Mohan Mohini, the person who attracts the attractor of Cupid. So Tulsi began to see Sankachuda in her dreams. And she was dreaming and thinking and becoming attracted to him, with him. So Sankachuda was the son of someone named Damba, who was a devotee of Krishna. Is that talking? I can hear some talking. Anyway. So Damba performed austerities for 100,000 years, and then he got Sankachuda as his son, and his son was supposed to be invincible and invincible and a great devotee of Krishna. So Sankachuda, after he was born, performed austerities, and Lord Brahma appeared to him and gave him a blessing also and said, you will become invincible, and here's an amulet you should wear. And when you wear this amulet, nobody will be able to defeat you, and you should marry Tulsi Devi. So in this way, Sankachuda approached Tulsi, who was also meditating at that time and had become attracted to him previously, and said, I want to marry you. But Tulsi tested him. She said, don't you understand, women are very fickle, so why should you want to marry me? You should become brahmachari. Of course, Sankachuda had no idea of becoming a brahmachari. He's very much attracted to her. And he said, actually, that fickleness is only with women who are in passion and ignorance. A woman who is in goodness like you is chaste. So Lord Brahma sent me to marry you. So let's get married. So immediately they had the marriage, which is the Gandharva rite. They exchanged garlands, and they both understood who they were in their past lives. He understood he was Sudama, and she understood she was Tulsi in the spiritual world. Then Lord Brahma appeared, and he blessed their marriage, and he said, don't worry, in the future you can get married to him, but then you'll have Krishna as your husband. But of course, being very much in love, she didn't hear that, even though Lord Brahma said that. So the couple began to enjoy with each other for about 4,300,000 years, a long period of time. And the Sankachuda became so powerful that he took over the heavenly planets, was in charge of all the demigods. And naturally, when the demigods get in trouble like this, they go to Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma went to Lord Shiva, and then they all went to Lord Narayan. Lord Narayan explained everything. He explained that Sankachuda was Sudama, who was cursed by Radharani. And the reason he was cursed by Radharani is that when Tulsi had flirted with Krishna previously, Radharani got angry at Tulsi. And then Radharani also got angry at Krishna and started to chastise Krishna. And Krishna, being under the control of Radharani, was very quiet. He didn't say anything. Sometimes we find, even in the pastimes in Dwarka, that Krishna acts like a henpecked husband. You know what henpecked is? You ever see a hen that goes, you know, they peck with their nose? So sometimes the wives do that to their husbands. Peck, 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 peck. Anyway, I'm a sannyasi. I don't know about this stuff. But I'm just repeating the words of the acharyas. So Krishna was very quiet. He didn't say anything. Yet, Sudam, his good friend, got very angry. He said, how can you chastise my friend? This is improper. And so Radharani got angry at Sudam and cursed him. You should be born as a demon on the earth planet. And Sudam started crying, no, anything but that. Anything but that. And Radharani felt remorse. She felt real bad about it. But Krishna said, all right, you've already cursed him. It has to take place, but it'll only be for an instant. Because even if you're talking about 4,300,000 years, when you talk about relative time, relative to even the heavenly planets, what to speak of relative to the spiritual world, it's an instant, or less than an instant. It's like when we go back to the spiritual world, if we go back, or when we go back, depending on who you're talking about, it'll be like we were gone for no time at all. Even though we're here, we're suffering like anything, so many births, so many yuga cycles, so many days of Lord Brahma we've been here. When we go back, it's just like we close our eyes for a second. I had a bad dream. I dreamt I was in America. Yeah, I dreamt that George Bush was president, you know. Whatever. What a dream. Yeah, I know Obama's president, but he's better. That wouldn't be a bad dream. That's good. So I had a bad dream. I dreamt the stock market went down. I lost everything. Anyway, so we wake up. Anyway, that's relative time right there. So Krishna explained all those things to the demigods. And then he said, don't worry. We'll take care of this. First of all, I'm going to give you a trident. He gave the Lord Shiva a trident to kill Shankarachuta. But Shankarachuta can't be killed because of his benediction. There's several things that have to occur before he can be killed. First of all, his amulet has to be taken away that makes him invulnerable. And secondly, his wife's chastity has to be violated. And Lord Narayan said, don't worry, I'll take care of both of those things. And so what happened is that Lord Narayan, first of all, appeared as a Brahmin. And even in the Vedic system, or especially in the Vedic system, when a Brahmin asks for something, even if it's from a demon, the demon will give it to a Brahmin. So we find like Karna. Of course, Karna wasn't actually a demon, but he was acting pretty demoniacally. When he was approached by Indra in the guise of a Brahmin, Karna had to give up his everything, his earrings, his invincible armor, everything. And so in the same way, this demon, at least Sudam, acting as a demon, was approached by Lord Narayan in the guise of a Brahmin. And, they don't appreciate the story. So he's approached by Lord Narayan in the guise of a Brahmin, and guess what happened? He gave up his amulet, because Lord Narayan asked for the amulet. So, before Tulsi's chastity was violated, several things happened. Lord Shiva got ready to attack Shankarachuta, and Shankarachuta accepted the challenge. And not only was Lord Shiva there, was Kartikeya was there, the Vasus, the Adityas, Indra, Agni, and even Bhadrakali, who was on her chariot. So Shankarachuta went to war, and he had 300,000. Akshahini forces. And Akshahini means like millions and millions of horses and chariots and soldiers and stuff like that. So first of all, Shankarachuta came out to see Lord Shiva to pay obeisances to him. He also paid obeisances to Bhadrakali, who blessed him. Lord Shiva explained to Shankarachuta, he said, look, in the past you were Vaishnava, so you should just surrender. Don't fight with us. And he said to Lord Shiva, you have a problem. You're always favoring these demigods. But us demons, we're always losing out. So we're going to fight with you this time. So the demigods became defeated. And then Kartikeya and Kali, Bhadrakali, entered the battle. And Kali was hurling all sorts of weapons, but they all failed. And so she gets her trident. She has a trident also ready to fire. But Kali is stopped by a voice from the sky that reminds her of Lord Brahma's boon, that he cannot be killed until the amulet is removed and Tulsi's chastity is violated. So instead, she desists from fighting him and instead just eats and devours millions of demons. They just enter her mouth and she just digests them. And some of the demons crawled out of her mouth while she was chewing. About 100,000 crawled out of her mouth. There are like millions and millions of demons. So Lord Shiva fights with Sankatruta for 1 year. Finally, Lord Shiva grabs his trident, but then he also hears a voice to stop until Tulsi's chastity is violated. Then Lord Narayan does the ultimate trick. He assumes the form of Sankatruta, goes to the palace, and he says, "We have a peace treaty here. That's the reason I'm coming back. Lord Brahma just mediated the whole thing, so everything's all right. He's a good peacemaker. He's a mediator. And what he does is he has a relationship with Tulsi, his Lord Narayan. So when he has that relationship with Tulsi, her chastity to Sankatruta is violated. Then Lord Shiva is told by Lord Narayan, fire your trident. He fires the trident. The name of the trident is Vijay. It is 100,000 times as brighter than the sun, 14,000 cubits long. That's pretty long. Cubit is like about the length of it from here to here. And it is 100 cubits wide. And when Sankatruta sees it's coming, he goes into a yoga posture, meditates on Krishna's feet, and he's killed, and all of his bones are tossed into the sea. And his bones become conches. That's why conches are very auspicious. Normally, we are not interested in bones. In fact, if one touches a bone, he becomes impure. But if one touches a conch, one becomes pure. The holy waters in the conches are like sacred rivers, and if a conch is blown by the proper person, it indicates Lakshmi, or the goddess of fortune, is there. But when a low-class person blows a conch, guess what happens? Lakshmi goes away and goes elsewhere. In other words, you lose all your money. So you better have a high-class person blow a conch in your house. That way you become wealthy. So the conch indicates Lord Hari, that is Krishna, and Lakshmi are there. All inauspicious things will disappear. So Sudama at that point, after giving up that body, he regained his original form and went back to the spiritual world with all the coward boys. And Radha and Krishna were very happy to see him back in the spiritual world. But Tulsi was not happy at that point, because she had discovered, because basically one knows their husband or wife, she discovers you look like him. But it sure is not you, or it sure is not Sankatruta. You're someone else. Who are you? She asks him. I will curse you. And Lord Vishnu assumes his normal Vishnu form, four-arm form, and Tulsi says, you are heartless. Your heart is like a stone. And I'll read the quote from the Padma Purana. It's quite interesting. She says, O Lord, you were like a stone. You were merciless. You violated my chastity by deception, and by this means you have killed my husband. You are merciless. Your heart is like a stone. Therefore, I curse you to become a stone. Those who call you holy are undoubtedly wrong. Your devotee committed no offense, and yet for the sake of others you killed him. Why? And Lord Narayan explains, this is all from the Padma Purana. O exalted one, you performed austerities for a long time to get me as your husband, and Sankatruta also performed austerities for a long time to get you as his wife. By that austerity, he fulfilled his wish. It was then necessary for me to fulfill your wish. For that reason, I did what I did. Now leave your earthly body and assume a spiritual body and be married to me. Be like Lakshmi. Your body will become transformed and will become the famous river known as the Gandaki River, a virtuous, pure, and transparent river in the holy land of India. Your hairs will be transformed into holy trees. And since the trees will be born of you, they will be known as Tulsi trees. All the residents of the three worlds will perform worship with their leaves and flowers of this tree. Thus you, Tulsi, will reign as the best among trees and flowers. And here's some benedictions. Lord Hari will not be as pleased with the gift of 1,000 jars of honey as with one Tulsi leaf. Offering one such leaf as a gift will bring the same reward obtained as offering millions of cows. If one offers Tulsi leaves during the month of Kartik, he gives the same reward as those just mentioned. If at the time of death one drinks or gets Tulsi leaf water, one will be freed from all of his sins and proceed to Vaikuntha. Whoever drinks the Tulsi leaf water daily will be redeemed in his lifetime and receive the benefit of a dip in the Ganges. Whoever plucks a Tulsi leaf, keeps it on his person, and then leaves his body in a holy place will go to Vishnu Loka. Anyone who worships Krishna with this leaf daily will reap the blessings of 100,000 horse sacrifices. Anyone who leaves his body holding a Tulsi leaf in his hands will be saved from all sins. Anyone who wears a necklace composed of Tulsi wood will surely at every step get the reward of a horse sacrifice. Whoever breaks his promise while holding the Tulsi leaf will go to the Kalasutra hell for as long as the sun and moon last. Anyone at the time of death who drinks or gets a little Tulsi leaf water will certainly proceed to Vaikuntha, leaving in a jeweled airplane. So these are the benedictions one gets. There's many benedictions here. I don't have time to read them all. So then Tulsi returned to the spiritual world, and she became the Gandaki River and the Tulsi trees. And that Gandaki River is in Nepal, of course. And the Shalagram Shilas are found in that Gandaki River, and the transcendental worms there, worms aren't usually transcendental, but in this river they are, they form, they form these stones in a certain way. So each stone is an incarnation, or considered an incarnation of a specific form of the Lord, like there's Nrisimha Shilas, Vamana Shilas, Kurma Shilas, Gopala Shilas, like this. So finally it says here, the Lord Krishna appeased Saraswati, who was envious of the Gandaki River, and he went to the Tulsi forest in Vrindavan, feeling great separation from Tulsi after she left. And Lord Krishna himself meditated on her and said, "Obeisances to Tulsi Devi, O Queen of Vrindavan Forest." And Lord Krishna offered a ghee lamp, frankincense, flowers, and other offerings. And he said, anyone who does this will achieve complete perfection. So this is the story of the Tulsi Shalagram Vivaha. So now we're going to have the actual marriage ceremony between Tulsi and Shalagram. Are we ready? Is there a Shalagram here? Okay. First, the man, Shalagram, has to be here first. And then Tulsi comes out, and everyone has to make auspicious sounds when she comes out. Where's Shalagram? So this ceremony is traditionally performed actually all over India, especially in North India. They have elaborate ceremonies. Sometimes they last for days, commemorating this particular marriage. Okay, so we need room for everybody to come in. Very auspicious marriage. Is that Shalagram? Jai, Shalagram, Jai. Jai, everybody offer obeisances to Shalagram.